this is, I think by not telling people that this is an AI model, it's kind of like plagiarism. You know, you're copying and pasting. And same thing with plagiarism. You're just taking somebody else's work and yep. using it and taking credit for it. Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing Google's March AI update and what it could mean for how Amazon treats AI content. We're also going to be discussing what's happened with the March update. What do we know about how Amazon treats AI content on its platform and AI in reviews on Amazon? So welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. All right. Like I just said, we're going to be discussing Google's March AI update and what it could mean for how Amazon treats AI content. So this is our first time guest on our podcast. Our guest is the founder and CEO of Originality.ai. He founded Originality.ai after successfully building and later selling two content marketing agencies. He recognized the immense potential of artificial intelligence in transforming content creation and verification. And in November 2022, Originality.ai was born, driven by the vision to detect GPT-3 or GPT-3 generated content before launch of ChatGPT. So, first time guest, we're going to welcome just after the sponsor, Jonathan Gillum. And I guess I'm reading the sponsor, huh?
Well, that's right. You're learning.
I'm waiting for the pre-recorded sponsor. I guess I'm that right now. Okay, let me get to that. All right, we're talking about Seller Basics. Live shout out. Here we go. Hey, Amazon sellers, ever faced with account suspensions, ASIN hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardian, which is $99 per month, or code NORM. N-O-R-M, you'll get it for $89 a month. Seller Basics offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys. And guess what? No long-term contracts, and you can cancel with just a month's notice. View Seller Basics as your Amazon account health plan, and you can check them out at sellerbasics.com. Now for the nasty disclaimers. Seller Basics isn't an insurer or a law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary. Membership is needed before events leading to claims, and terms apply. Now you can come back and enjoy the episode. And welcome, John.
Hey, Norm. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's only on the live that we go like 10 minutes into it before we introduce the guest. This gets all deleted when we post it on the podcast. But sorry you had to, you know, sit there for 10 minutes.
No, it's good. Good to hear some stories. Yeah, I'm glad that times have changed with the dress codes.
You would not believe it. I got kicked off of a Mercedes-Benz film shoot under all these hot lights. Because, and I had shorts and a t-shirt and running shoes on because I wasn't wearing a suit. Hey, try being under those hot lights. Yeah, it was crazy. Back in the day, it was nuts. But you know what's even funnier, John? We used to have like Friday, a barbecue in the back, and the courier drivers would come. And this is way before, this is going to sound really bad, right? But this is way before MAD was out there and drunk driving was a huge thing. It was never like this when I was growing up. You could, you know, the worst thing that would happen if you got pulled over by the cops was that they take their beer and have it for themselves. But we had this thing on Fridays where we'd have a barbecue. It was casual Friday. You know, it was around that time when we could do that. And we'd have beer. And guess what? everybody had a beer with us. So, you know, the career drivers would pull it. They never want to do that anymore. But now with all of the knowledge in that, is it times change? Times yeah. really change. Like, could you do, could you imagine that nowadays?
No. No, no, I definitely can't. No, that would be to see.
Horrible to begin with. But back then it was, you know, the casual thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to you, sir. We had a interesting conversation just before the podcast about what you're doing. And I want to talk so much about this. This is very unique. But before we really get into originality.ai and what it does, you want to talk to us a bit about the March Google update?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, Google, as has done forever, comes out with some significant updates every once in a while. March 5th, it came out with a few updates. Sort of one was a manual action, and then there was two that were all grouped together into a sort of an algorithmic update. The manual actions were exceptionally unique in the way that they did them and what they were going after, where they seemed to target sites that had been AI, had a significant amount of AI content on those sites. And what was different about it was just the amount of sort of media coverage and amount of sort of press that they had done leading up to this update, or sort of immediately when they rolled out the update, that there was almost a sort of a PsyOps component to this update, where they were really trying to signal their dislike for this sort of segment of sites that all had this manual action. And what a manual action is, you know, similar to like Amazon, where if you're playing in Amazon's playground and your listing gets removed, it's the same thing in Google's index. If your site gets removed, you're dead.
Right.
In terms of traffic from Google. And so that's what they did to about 2% of sites that we looked at. And we did a big study looking at sort of almost 100,000 sites, and 2% of them, received that manual action, and the majority of those that received the manual action had been heavily using AI content.
So how much is too much?
Yeah, so I think there, you know, Google is saying we don't like spam content, you know, it's not all AI content is spam content, but I think it's pretty fair to say that all spam content right now, if someone's generating spam content, they're using AI to do that. And so how much is too much? And I think it's a question for people to ask themselves around, is each piece of content that's going out produce, have an editorial process behind it that is ensuring that it is useful to the reader? You know, I think, you know, if you look at a big news outlet, like the number of articles that are being published at the New York Times or CNN or Fox every day, you did that on a smaller site without any editorial controls, and you get smoked. So I don't know if it's sort of a hard limit, but I think the faster you're publishing, the higher risk you are at to be identified and have a manual action applied by Google. And then it's a question back to that website owner on, is each piece of content they're pushing out valuable to their audience?
Yeah, I heard originally that Google did not like AI, and then I thought that it was okay. They didn't mind it. And now are they going back to be careful?
So I think it's Google's in a really tricky spot where they need to be an AI forward company. But if their search results are overrun with nothing but AI content, then why would people go to the search results? Why wouldn't they just go to the AI that generated them? And so Google's in this really tricky spot where they need to sort of signal what they want, while also sort of signaling to the market, like the financial markets, that they're an AI forward company. So I think their current messaging is, we don't like spam content in whatever form that takes. If you're spamming us with AI, we don't like that. If you're spamming us with human writers or other programmatic means, we don't like that, and we're going to come after you. And so what they have showed with the March 5th update was that they have the capability of identifying AI spam and going after it. And so I think I think there are plenty of times where and we use it internally ourselves, where we publish some content with the help of AI, because we have some people on our research team that are English as a second language, and they really enjoy the use of AI to help communicate their message.
Okay. Now, I'm curious about this. This is something we talked about beforehand, and that's, you know, the help of humans and can it pick up that? But there are, I used to call them spinning apps. So you'd go out there and they're an AI, they're a company. I think it would probably be similar to what you do. It detects AI, but then there's a gauge, and this is on multiple companies that or apps that I've seen where you can humanize it. Does that still make it, can Google still pick that up, or are these things actually legit and they're really more humanizing the experience?
Yeah. So I think, I don't know if you've played with them at all, but any humanizer, the way that they trick detection is typically by making the writing worse. So removing grammatical rules, changing out the spelling. So there used to be some strategies to bypass detection that would use paraphrasing tools. Mm-hmm. That method has been closed. And now sort of all those tools either A, don't work at bypassing detection, or B, if they do work, it's making the writing such a poor quality that you wouldn't want to use it. Obviously I'm biased when I say that, because we are the detection side of that sort of cat and mouse game. But I'd say to your question around, like, is that a smart thing to do? And I think it depends on your use case. So, you know, why would you want to be creating with AI and then tricking detectors? And there's, I think, three use cases. There's students, which kind of doesn't apply here, and people can make their own ethical decisions. There's writers who are trying to get paid for their writing, and so they're using AI to generate content, a tool to try and trick detectors to then try and get paid. Not a very efficient process, because it still gets caught and the quality is dropped that you're not going to get compensated well. And if you're trying to trick Google, it's important to remember that, like, none of the detectors are Google, and Google will have their own method of detection, probably pretty similar to the way that we do it. But I think if you're sort of focusing on tricking Google, then I think the whether you're selling on Amazon, you know, or publishing on Google, you're have some need to try and manage the algorithms that determine where you rank. But I don't think that's the right approach for people that are publishing on Google, to be focused on tricking the algorithms by tricking detectors versus focusing on their audience.
Yeah, I'm into domains, and, you know, we talked about just friends of mine that are into it, you know, how we could just pour out content, you know, when this first came up. And yep. Now, and I'd have to go back to my buddies and ask them, but I would be fearful if I've just spent a ton of time and money launching thousands of sites with tons of content, and they're probably going to get ghosted.
Yeah. I'd say there's a pretty, you know, I think they can work for a short period of time, yeah. But I think Google's made it pretty clear that they will find and nuke sites that have done that.
Yeah. I want to talk about the ethical end right now of this. We have experienced two sides of the coin. We use AI. We try to bring in the human element of it. But we've had some contractors that have been contractors for some time. And in one case, this was somebody saying, hey, give me a second chance. All right. So the person that said that was a writer. And they're out of the Philippines. Their writing was a lot of basically's, actually's, whilst. You could tell it was a foreign writer. So they said, oh, we've got better writers now. Okay. I knew something was up. I almost knew it immediately when the email came back. First of all, extremely well written. And, you know, the catch right off the bat, I hope this email finds you well. And it was, all right, here, let's see what they've written. And it was horribly good, you know, but you could tell it was very robotic, very like even their prompting sucked. And and they wanted full pop. They wanted, it was, we paid $100 for the better services that we were using. And they were saying that they were better. So we all right, what's $100? We'll try them out. I do that in a cigar. well, Kevin does. Kevin King does. But then we noticed this happening with graphic artists. Now, I'm not talking about companies like AI or Ecom Tent. They tell you this is an AI app, and here are some samples, and this is how you do it. I'm talking about graphic artists that don't tell you that they're using AI, and they charge you the exact same price they were charging you, you know, prior to a year and a half ago. So let's say we were being charged $450 for a listing. Well, guess what? It's still $450, and they just probably rammed these images through very inexpensively. And that pisses or ticks me off, you know, when we do that. I really don't mind if there is an AI or AI assisted listing generator, and you know going into it that this is, you're paying for that. But I think it's very unethical for that not to be disclosed.
Yeah, I think that was one of the main reasons. So, I mean, I think the experience that you've had is not unique since the launch of ChatGPT and generative AI even before that. You know, this is one of the main reasons why we started it. We had our content marketing agency. We would have people come to us and say, how do you know that your writers didn't use AI? And this was kind of Jasper days. And we had struggled to be able to answer that. Like, well, we have our policies, we have our procedures, but our controls just weren't very effective. And then ChatGPT has really changed that game in terms of the prevalence of these tools and the use of them. But, you know, happy to pay a writer $100, $1,000 an article, whatever it might be. Not very happy to find out that it was copied and pasted out of ChatGPT. Not against AI, happy to use it when it makes sense. But if I'm going to use it, I want to be the one. If I'm using AI in my business, I want to be the one that extracts the value of that efficiency. And so, yeah, I think, you know, it's easy when it's a copy paste, like the example that you shared. Mm-hmm. When it's a graphic designer that has used generative fill in Adobe, it can get tricky. Is that AI or is that edited with AI assist? And so I think the sort of easiest route right now is hopefully disclosure from everyone involved in that process to communicate the expectations and the actual use of the tools so that everyone is sort of understanding it. And you know, I think hopefully we're a piece of that solution in the world of text creation.
Well, this goes even a little bit further than that. It was a face. It was models' faces or a model's face that we used. And it was very hard to tell. It was really, really hard to tell. But at the end of the day, we found out it was AI. The other thing, this is, I think by not telling people that this is an AI model, it's kind of like plagiarism. You know, you're copying and pasting. And same thing with plagiarism. You're just taking somebody else's work and using it and taking credit for it. So I think there's going to be a lot of interesting conversations in the near future about how this is going to go.
For sure.
And you've got a great company, an interesting company, and this is the originality.ai. And, you know, I just wanted to let people know about this and to check it out for yourself. It is towards the end of the hour. So usually at the end of the hour, if you're new to the podcast, we have something called the Wheel of Kelsey. And that's at the top of the hour. And that's a giveaway. So first of all, how do you enter the Wheel of Kelsey? It's easy. Hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. Tag two people. You get a second entry. And we always have a prize. And this time, our guest is giving away a prize. Pretty cool prize. What is it, John?
Yeah, so it's a website scan. So if you have a website that has content that has been written by authors and writers that you've hired or are on your team, we can scan that website and then identify which articles on that site were AI generated or human generated.
That's awesome. All right. So that's hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. Tag two people and you'll get a second entry to win the prize today. Okay. Now, let me see. I'll go into another live read. Okay, Kels. Today, just want to shout out to Colin Campbell. He's a great friend of mine. He wrote this book. It's Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. I can guarantee you there's no AI generation in this book. It took him 10 years to write this. I know this for a fact because I know Colin, but I also know when he started telling me about writing this book. He's got over 200 interviews here of entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, and what they did to, you know, meet their goal. And it's broken down very uniquely. Start, scale, exit, repeat. Everything you need to build and or everything you need to know about your entrepreneurial journey. And it's very unique. Each section has four modules, and each one of those four modules is broken down into a specific topic within each one of those modules. So check it out. It's available on Amazon in Kindle, soft and hardback, and it's also available on audio. All right, that's Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat by Colin Campbell. All right.
I just bought it. Well, you're
talking. Oh, you
did? Yeah, it's got a Kindle version of it there.
Fantastic. Yeah, let me know what you think of it. I told Colin, he's a close friend, and he said, what do you really think of it? And I said, this is one of the best books I've ever read on business. And he says, he thought I was joking, and I wasn't. I really do. So let me know what you think about the book.
Sounds great.
What does this see? Can the book go on the wheel? Yeah. You know what, Kels? Why don't we throw a copy of the book on the wheel, and we'll let Colin know we did that. So, okay. And that'll be a Kindle version. Okay. Now let's get back to some of these questions. We started talking about Amazon and, as one of the topics today. So what do we, or how do we know what Amazon or how it treats AI content on its platform?
Yeah. So it's a big beast, right? So I think I know your audience, like listings and how to, so I think, you know, Amazon's come out with generative AI to help with listings. So it seems like they haven't taken a strong stance against it in their listings and have other means of dealing with it. They're, you know, talking about books on Amazon. Amazon's come out clear, has had some egg on their face where they've had some AI generated books that have been bad and dangerous, including a book that we helped identify that was about foraging for mushrooms and suggested to taste a mushroom to determine if it was poisonous. Not recommended.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So I think different parts of the business has different policies. So it seems like their listing focus is AI is okay. We hold you to other quality standards, but if you used AI to write your listing, that's okay. If you use it to write a book, then you need to declare that, and it's pretty clear that they're moving in the direction that they are against AI generated books. And then reviews is its own beast, where we've looked at how many reviews have been AI generated, and I think that's a societal question that is going to sort of get answered over the coming couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this probably for 6 months. And, you know, if I have a few hours on Saturday, I'll go and play with it. But I've always wanted to write this really dark psychological thriller. And I started out back, at least 6 months ago, probably 8 months ago. But I wanted to, just like you would regularly write a book, you'd have the character description or bios, briefs, the settings, everything. Like I have 17 pages of, time spent on developing everything for the book. And then I decided, let's try this out with chat. It really sucked. And I kept playing around with it. But as it's evolved, I've been able to really prompt it quite well. and been able to get, like, draw out of ChatGPT, I think, a pretty damn good book. And, yeah. you know, I keep rewriting, and it's taken me, believe me, I could write it myself and it would have been less time, but I wanted to see in the mind of, or in the algorithm, what I could draw out to really make twists and turns all along the way. And it's interesting about what that's going to, and I guess I'll probably say that this is AI generated at the end, because it will be 100% AI generated. I just wanted to see how to use the best prompting to extract the best quality book. And I've been using my son as a guinea pig to rewrite or reread, reread, reread. He's telling me it's coming along.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably challenged with the context window, like the amount that ChatGPT can hold in memory. So I know you've tried sort of the custom GPTs to train it with your 17 pages to train it with that. So yeah. Then it would have an anchor point. But yeah, no, it's, you know, I think that's what's so fascinating about this, is that it's not there aren't clean answers right now to what is and isn't allowed, or is sort of acceptable within society. Like if I knew that that was the, if anyone knew that that was the creation process to the book, would they care, or they'd be happy with whatever joy they got from reading it? And I think it's the latter, that they would be happy to read it. And so I, you know, I think there's, you know, obviously a place for it. It's phenomenal technology. I use it every day. It's great. But there's just these like points in society where I think we haven't all gotten on the same page with, you know, where we want it in our lives and where we don't want it.
You just stated about the bloody mushroom.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about unethical, talk about immoral. I mean, somebody could have died tasting a mushroom.
Yeah.
And, you know, that author would have probably felt horrible, but they would have been liable too.
Yeah, and would Amazon have been? I think
that's an interesting point. Yeah. Like, where does liability come into this? Hey, your company, the way that I'm looking at it is, you know, if you take it and you take a look at it and you're being told something wrong and it's in somebody's description or claim or something and it's written by AI, this is something I really never thought about. There's legal liability associated with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what, like, in terms of the Amazon listing, I think that's why they haven't restricted it, because it really does come back to the seller and what they have chosen to put on their listing. And so similar to sort of the responsibility ending up with the author, if I were to sort of project out a few years, how do I think the world would be different? I think the name of the author behind things will matter more than it does now, that there will be rare that you will see a piece of text and not an author that you can verify that they are standing behind that piece of work. So I think that's going to be a way that things change in the world of AI, where maybe we move to a place where we don't care for how it was generated. We just care who the author is and that they're putting their reputation on the line with that piece of content.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about us putting up the content, thinking it's only us. But what about Amazon? They have an AI, tool now. So what if they change your listing? And you've probably seen that. We can put up a listing and it could be changed by Amazon's algorithm now.
Yeah. 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 That's a good point. And I wonder where, yeah. Can you, if they do something that leads to an unhappy customer as a result of misaligned expectations, what happens? I don't know that. I don't know if you know that answer, but I don't know that answer.
I don't. It really is, you know, something that we've all just started thinking about. But, you know, if they twist, if I'm a brand and I have a specific type of tone or a brand story or a brand consistency, and they bastardize that, or they go against the brand, can you do anything about it? Probably not. It's Amazon.
Yep.
But
yeah,
just interesting. Yeah,
yeah, and for sure.
And the other thing, and we all chase after these. Some do it in white hat ways. Some do it in black hat ways. But AI in reviews on Amazon, that's going to be interesting. Like how many people generate reviews? And I'm talking about they could be legitimately happy with the product, but they generate it in AI and publish it.
Yeah, so we ran a study on this, and it was not just Amazon, but a ton of sites are seeing a massive increase in the amount of reviews that are showing up on their sites that are AI generated. Like software review sites, seeing up to 30% of reviews are AI generated. So Amazon, what we saw was 2023. Percent of reviews that were AI generated, under 2% in 2021 and 2022. 2023 had 8%, and we haven't updated it for 2024 yet, but we'll be interested to see if that has that graph going from, you know, 4x-ing in a year, if that has continued to increase. And then I think the theory, like, hey, no problem with that's your true human experience and you're using AI to help communicate it more effectively. That I think everyone would be like, yeah, it's great. Happy to read that review. I think where it becomes a problem is if that review is there with the intention to manipulate. And what we looked at was how likely are 1-star reviews and 5-star reviews to be AI generated as opposed to 2, 3, or 4, which if you're manipulating reviews, most people are manipulating with either 1-stars or 5-stars. Right. And they were 1-star and 5-star were, it was almost 2 times more likely to be AI generated than a 2, 3, or 4. So I think that sort of massive increase in AI and a lot of those AI reviews and a lot of those reviews were based on the assumption from the difference in a 1-star and a 5-star to a 2, 3, 4-star. A lot of those AI reviews were being created with the intention of manipulation.
You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, if, and now I'm talking a little bit about e-commerce, Shopify stores, stores that don't track. And I know Amazon doesn't have a good track record for reviews. A lot of them are manipulated. However, when you have a Shopify store, you could use this, you know, use AI to generate thousands of reviews and nobody, well, I guess some people will know the difference, but I mean, you could populate that with a bunch of fake reviews. Again, unethical, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, review services aren't new. You know, there's been ways of manipulating reviews that long predated AI, but AI just makes everything more efficient. And so, you know, I don't think it created a brand new method of manipulation, but I think it has made existing methods far more efficient. And so I think it's important to think about that, where it's like, it's not necessarily, if AI hadn't been created, would we have had more reviews or less reviews in 2023? I don't know that number. But I think it would be fair to assume that it's probably increased because it has made one part of that process more efficient. And I think that exists at Shopify stores that are generating reviews for their site.
Okay, now let's talk about another element of Amazon. We kind of touched on it, but using AI in Kindle books. I know there's an explosion in these Amazon gurus out there there are some really great Amazon books that I've read, but there is a ton of, you could tell it's AI generated. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody's an expert.
Yeah. I don't want to read an AI generated book. I don't want to use
except yours. Yeah.
Yes. I don't want to read an AI generated nonfiction book. I'll say that for sure. I think there's be very little reason where I would want to read a nonfiction book that I knew was AI generated without human editing. I think that's pretty consistent across the board. Mm-hmm. I don't think many people would say, yeah, I want to read a recipe book that was 100% AI generated versus a true expert that was sharing their opinion on recipes. So I think there's pot reviews, another one where, you know, very pro AI, but I don't want to read reviews that were AI generated. And I think that's the same goes with Kindle nonfiction, Kindle fiction. I'm probably there that it's like, if I can trust the reviews, and I know it was AI generated and the reviews are great, then I wouldn't be anti that book. It's just for the enjoyment.
I can see that flooding the market too.
Oh, it already is. Yes. Yeah. So we did a story with New York Times looking at some travel guides that were, it was a travel writer got a tip on some books that were just wildly inaccurate. And then we looked at it and showed that it was very high probability of it being AI generated. The books were travel guides giving outdated, dangerous advice. Not to the same extent as the mushroom eating example, but non-fiction books are, especially when you're dealing with things that, you know, you're in Google words, like your money, your life, your health kind of topics. You don't want to be wrong.
Right. And again, I'm going to throw in that liability, you know, authors will learn, business people will learn that, sometimes it's, I have beauty products and I am amazed at how many claims. Now, a lot of them are off, but how many claims are on Amazon about the same product or a similar product that I have and completely wrong? You're not allowed to do what they were doing. And it's a matter of time when you say the word cure, or if something is organically organic and it's not certified, somebody's going to get a lawsuit, and it's not going to be a smaller dollar lawsuit, but they'll learn.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think this is where you can use AI for your advantage. You could go and you can do your research and you can ask it about something like that. You know, you could put in restricted words, terms of service from Amazon, but doing your own product research, like what are the confinements of labeling? You know, so this is where it could really help you out.
Big time. I think, AI assistant that gives you guardrails within writing that sensitive topics, I think is a phenomenal use case that I'm seeing across, often like pharmaceutical. Sometimes it can be a problem with the consistency at which those guardrails get applied versus the LLMs choosing to hallucinate.
Right.
But I think it's a great assistant for helping you fact check. You know, I think we talk about the negative side, but yeah, absolutely. There's huge benefits to what these LLMs can produce in helping protect you from yourself with what you create.
Yeah. Even going back to Amazon, doing your customer research. We've been playing around and just, you know, just putting in two or three different competitors, checking them out. How are these different? This is what we want to do, or how can we improve it? And we get some really great information by feeding our information or their information into ChatGPT.
Yeah. So I used to sell, I haven't been selling on Amazon in a few years, but I used to have a couple businesses that had a FBA component to them. And reading one of the common sort of first steps was reading all of the competitor reviews and then trying to synthesize that information and identify your angle. And that would be an incredible use case to scrape all reviews of all competitors and then have ChatGPT to synthesize the research, the sentiment, the commonalities, I think AI, it's a phenomenal tool for the recognizing patterns. Humans are really good at thinking they recognize patterns, but are really bad at actually recognizing those patterns. Hence why there's a massive industry around betting and, the financial market gambling that can occur. But AI is truly phenomenal at recognizing patterns.
You mean we don't always win against the house?
Apparently not. Oh. You think you will. Yeah. But I have a system.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have a system. Okay. So we've talked about a bunch of different things. Is there anything that we've missed out on that you want to touch base on?
I think one of the, just a basic one, but the, a lot of people around these detection scores have sort of the, there's this like strong bias to like, hey, detectors aren't perfect, so therefore they're BS, or detectors are perfect. And the answer is it's kind of somewhere in between. They are highly accurate, but they do produce false positives, do produce false negatives. And that's sort of an important thing to understand when using them. And then the other sort of common misconception around them is if it'll often give you a probability of AI, not necessarily the percent of the article that was AI. So if it says it's 75% chance it was human, it was original, 25% chance it was AI, that's just the tool saying 75% chance that this article was human written and 25% chance it was AI written. And so it's correct if that truly was human written, that's correctly identifying it as human written. So I'd say those are kind of the two. Anytime I have an opportunity to talk and educate anyone in the world, because I think this is now a topic that people will need to understand in terms of, can you detect AI generated content? And the answer is yes, but not to the same level of confidence that you could detect plagiarism, where it was sort of this binary, like, yep, here's the 10 words that have been copied. So yeah, highly accurate, but still not quite perfect.
All right, very good. Hey, Kels, can we get into some questions, please? Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in today's giveaway, just type in the comment section, hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, or tag two people, you'll get a second entry.
Okay, so first question is from Simon. Hasn't Google always essentially been an AI company? Isn't their search a learning search machine?
Yeah, I think so. Answer, yeah, Google has always been. I think they've had some missteps. I mean, they are the ones that sort of invented the transformer technology, which has sort of launched ChatGPT and the other LLMs. So I think the answer is yes, they've always been an AI company. I think what they're faced with, and what they're trying to balance, is that if their search results are nothing but AI content, then people would rather just, it's an existential threat for them, because people would rather just go to the LLM or the AI that created that content that would have far more context to your own personal situation. And so I think Google needs to balance this AI first company with delivering results that are human and useful, because if not, then I think that it's an existential threat for them.
You know, I watched just on my feed the other day, caught my attention, and this is from 2004 to 2024, the top visited sites. And it started out with Netscape, and you saw Netscape play around, and then Yahoo, and then you had Excite, and you had all these other search engines were vying for space, MSN. There was a ton of them. And then you started to see Google slowly climb up, and then it took off. Well, I don't know, but Walmart in the retail world, never thought could be replaced. All of a sudden, you see Amazon sneak up. Google, yeah. Never think it could be replaced. Well, guess what? Perplexity's out there. And I tell you, I've been using Perplexity for a few weeks now after I heard about it. It's pretty damn good. Like, I like it over Google.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've tried it. I still use Google more than Perplexity, but I'll use ChatGPT. It's probably taken over about 20% of my searches that I would have typically gone to Google on. I'll just use ChatGPT for.
Right. I you know what? I just have an app built into Google, which is the Summarize tool.
Yep.
Yeah. It's great. All right. Next question.
All right. This one is from AMZ Elites. Anything on Amazon Comprehend? Does it detect AI content?
I'm not sure. Maybe help me understand what Amazon Comprehend is.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I can help you out on that, Tom, to give you a fair answer.
I think it's the language processing service.
Right. Yeah.
From their end.
So I'd say, I can't speak from I don't have firsthand knowledge, but I would say that the technology to be able to detect AI generated content is, you know, we have some incredibly, we have an incredibly smart research team that has created the tool that we have. Google, Amazon would all have likely some very similar capabilities if they chose to build that technology. Applying it at scale is compute intensive. But I can't imagine that if Amazon wanted to have that technology, that they wouldn't be capable of having it.
All right. From Cool Hand, do you ever see anything get flagged as AI that actually isn't AI?
Yeah. So a false positive rate. So we call it a false positive if the detector thinks it is AI, but it was actually human written. In all tests, we have our own data set that we test against, and then we have a bunch of publicly available third-party data sets that get provided that are AI data, AI and human data sets, and then we test against those. Our false positive rate lands in the sort of 2% to 3.5% range. And then our accuracy, so correctly identifying AI, generally lands in the 98 to 99%. And so those that we do have false positives. We have a free tool that lets, if somebody created a document in a Google document, lets people visualize the creation of it. And that helps sort of handle those false positives. And then I think there's a lot of sometimes some misunderstanding around what false positives are, where, you know, similar to Norm's example of it was edited, but it still got identified as AI. If AI has been involved in that creation, it will often get correctly identified, even if human editing has happened after the creation of it.
Okay.
All right. And then Simon has a comment here about what he's using chat for. I've used chat to write cease and desist letters with great outcomes. I've even sold a trademark that I haven't used for years using chat. And then he's got a question here for Norm. Will the Misfits AI Summit have an AI host? That would totally rock.
Hey, we've had a host for this podcast, an AI generated. It was all AI. So yeah, maybe, Simon.
All right. So I think that's it for questions. And I think we're good to go.
I see one at the bottom. From Simon. Yes,
it's a Simon question. So do you know of any AI assistants that will become your all singing, all dancing personal assistant?
You know, this is a silly question, right? But back in 1995, 96, 97, in around there, I had a virtual assistant that was all AI. So it was called Wildfire. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was out in Canada. It was very expensive. I think it was $700 a month for it. And it would act as your scheduling manager. It would come on, like you'd be on the phone with somebody and it would whisper. They called it whispering that, Norm, you have a call waiting. Should I patch them through? And then, oh no, schedule it for, Monday the 5th at 2:00. Okay, I'll notify the person or whatever. And it was all shut down. It was so cool. The thing was called, you guys can check this out. It was called Wildfire. And I think it was sold in the States, but this is something that was sold through Bell Canada up here in Toronto. Anyways. There you go. Personal assistant back in 95, or I think it was a little bit later.
All right. And we have one more question here from Legendary Studios. Is Google reworking how it ranks sites for AI checking?
Yeah, hard to know with certainty. I think what we've seen is Google is likely having it. So when we looked at the study, the data points that feed into this answer are, we looked at the study to look at how many sites got manual action. And what was common amongst them, 2% of sites that we looked at out of almost 100,000 were manual action, got de-indexed. They had AI, most of them, almost all of them had a significant amount of AI content on them. And then when we look at the sort of the following up with that, the Google update, I think, and then the amount of AI that is currently in search. So when we look at search results, about 10% of existing search results are AI generated. I think Google is struggling to deal with the amount of AI spam that they're being overrun with. I think they have shown that they have the capability of identifying it and dealing with it, but haven't yet worked that into dealing with it algorithmically. And so they're doing these manual actions to deal with it and not yet dealing with it within their kind of core algorithm. And is that coming? I would expect, based on the level of effort that they put into the manual action update and then the continued increase in the amount of AI in their search results, I think I would expect more updates that will be aiming to address the amount of AI spam in their search results.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's it, Kels.
So Simon, he is serious. He means do you know of any AI assistants that could help you with like email assisting, meeting schedules, task reminders, all in one kind
motion.
Of
motion, something that will do everything that you just said is it's called Motion and it's an app. You can check it out. It's doing a lot of that anyways and more. The only thing I don't know about is the email assist, but meeting scheduling, task reminders, rescheduling real time. So let's say you cancel or somebody cancels, it'll automatically take your priority for the day. So you can get a lot more productivity done in a day. So it is something to take a look at. I've been looking at it. I haven't signed up for it. I don't know if you've seen anything like that, John.
A lot of, so Copilot within Microsoft. So I think a lot of the sort of like office productivity suite, so like Microsoft, Google will have agents that will work within that. So within Google, you can subscribe to Gemini and it has some functionality. And I think, you know, based on the rate of progress, I think that is going to exist within the environments of the productivity tool. So if you're using Outlook, Microsoft is going to work to seamlessly integrate OpenAI technology into achieving all those outcomes. So yeah, I think it's going to be exciting when that comes, but I think it's going to come, I think it's already partially there and also going to come from the sort of the productivity, the big company productivity platforms like Microsoft and Google.
All right. Very good. Okay, I think that's it. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your app?
Yeah, so I think we talked about it a bunch, but originally it was built to help help people that are hiring writers identify whether or not the content has been created by AI or created by a human, and then has other features that helps ensure that you're able to hit publish with integrity, making sure it's not AI generated if you don't want it to be, it's not plagiarized, hits the right readability scores. We have a fact-checking feature in it as well, but it's just meant to help people that are publishing content on the web hit publish with integrity.
All right. And is it a free model or it's a paid model?
So there's a free 50 credits when you sign up to give it a test, but then it's a paid model at $14.95 a month.
All right. Very good. Okay. I think that's it. This has been awesome. We've never talked about this before. We got a lot out there, a lot of education. I really appreciate you coming on. When I remove you, if you could just be backstage for a second, I know, or do you have to go right now? Don't you?
I'm good for another few minutes.
Okay. Very good. All right. So let's end this then. Thank you so much for coming on, John. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Thanks for chatting about this.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I hope you like today's content. Kelsey, come on.
All right. I think we're forgetting something.
Oh, we forgot the sponsor again.
And let's go.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah. I guess.
All right. So here we go. Here's a quick sponsor read, and then we'll get over to the wheel.
Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. All right, now the wheel.
The wheel, here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Health.
All right, so we're going to quickly shuffle these up. Thank you everyone for entering. Today we're getting the free website scan for AI content and also a copy of the Kindle Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat by Colin Campbell. If you are the winner, please email me k@lunchwithnorm.com. And it looks like Michael from Facebook.
All right.
Is the winner. So congratulations.
Is that, Michael Eastman?
No.
Michael. Different v. Michael. All right. Yeah. Congratulations, Michael.
All right, so if you could email me, k@lunchwithnorm.com, we'll set you up with your prize. Congratulations.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. If you want to watch us live, it's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And like we say at the end of every podcast, we could never do this podcast without our awesome audience. If you'd like to hear more about Lunch with Norm, you can always go listen to the podcast, sign up for the newsletter, sign up for the WhatsApp or the Facebook group, whatever suits your fancy. You could do them all, but we couldn't do this without you. So thanks a lot, and we will see you on Wednesday.
Want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcasts, click over here. Lunch with the Norm.